हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहदेयंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
As Uddhava meditated on the great fortune of Krishna's devotees, page 32, he felt undeserving. He experienced the essential devotional prerequisite of dānya, utter humility. For Uddhava to gain his composure required great effort, plus the help of Narada, Balaram, and the others. Uddhava was next confronted by the bhava of jealousy, intolerance of others' good fortune. This transcendental jealousy, however, was sattvika, born from pure goodness, untouched by the influence of passion and ignorance. Therefore, was a cause of joy, having no trace of hatred. This ecstatic jealousy gave no distress to Uddhava or anyone else. Rather, in this jealousy, he entered even deeper into the trance of his attraction to Krishna. Just as devotees in the conjugal mood become even more blissfully attached to Krishna when jealous of his other lovers. 22-23. Sriman Uddhava said, O mighty one, knower of everything, most truthful speaker, greatest of sages, you are the master who teaches the means and ends of bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. All you just said about me and more is self-evident to me. I knew it was true before you said it, and so did others. O knower of everything hints that Narada is aware of who indeed are Krishna's most favored devotees, led by the divine Srimati Radharani. In Uddhava's judgment, Narada is the best of eloquent speakers like Yudhishthira, and the best of eminent sages like Vyas. Of all who attempt to glorify the Supreme Lord and his devotees, Narada is the most competent. Uddhava therefore feels obliged to accept anything Narada says as true, even something awkward to hear, like praise of him. Uddhava acknowledges Narada as his Prabhu, a spiritual master. Right, so instead of arguing with it, then it's just a matter if he's saying it, it must be true, but it doesn't mean that there's not more beyond that, right? So that then will establish their humility, right? Is that they...
Yeah.
Is that 24. What I saw in my recent trip to Braja took my pride in my special good fortune and suddenly crushed it to dust. And he's saying, all this is true, but now that has been crushed to dust by what I saw in Braj. Right. Uddhava cannot easily describe his impressions of Braja. Therefore, he simply says, what I experienced. Yat kim api anvabhavam. Before he visited Braja, his pride in being favored by Krishna had been as great as Mount Meru. But when he saw the greater devotion of the Vrajavasis, his pride was quickly reduced to a pile of dust. Yeah. 25, you know, means like no one has anything on extreme examples.
No.
That's Vedic culture. Right? They don't even know what Mount Meru is.
No.
You know. Since then, I have understood the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy, of love for him, and of those who possess that love. Just by what I saw in Braja, I came to be most blessed. I was swept away in an ocean of ecstasy. thinking myself completely favored by the Lord, a recipient of his most extreme mercy. Everyone here knows very well that when I sang in my ecstasy, what desires I had and what I did. Better for now not to speak on those matters further. O best of sages, I bow down to you again and again. I beseech you, please curb your eagerness to relish those various affairs. Uddhava's songs of ecstasy and breja are recorded by Sukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahman, or even as Lord Brahma himself? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-58. The gopis of Vrindavan had given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members who are very difficult to give up and have forsaken the path of chastity. I guess that there's advantage to having more devotional ringtones.
Yeah.
And have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. Therefore, anyone familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam knows very well what Uddhava said and did in Braja, and what confidential ambition he revealed there. It is no secret that Uddhava discovered in Sri Brajadam that the gopis, headed by Sri Radhika, are much more intimately favored by Krishna than himself. But in the present company, Uddhava wanted to avoid pursuing these topics. Sri Satyabhama and other queens of Dwarka who were there might be displeased to hear the gopis' super excellence described. And Sri Krishna himself, being reminded of the gopis, might be driven into even worse distress. Nard, however, having come to Dwarka just to hear about the recipients of Krishna's greatest mercy, was intent on fulfilling his mission. Uddhava thus submitted to him a humble request that he bring his eagerness under control to avoid undesirable consequences. In the next section, Rohini Devi will speak about Gokul. Right, because it's one thing if he speaks about it, it's another thing if the queens themselves speak about it. Is that yes. Yeah. If they want to make comments, that's their business.
Right.
Rohini blames Krishna for the condition of Braja, 28-48. Sri Parikit said, because Rohini had long lived in... Oh, this is Rohini. Yeah, she's lived there. Sri Parikit said, because Rohini had long lived in Gokula, its residents held her in high regard. She knew the inner meaning of Uddhava's words, so with tears in her eyes, she decided to speak. Despite the precautions taken by Uddhava, there was no way to stop Krishna's intimate devotees from unintentionally turning their conversation towards the pure devotion of Braja. That the people of Sri Nanda Braja had exclusive possession of Krishna's mercy was an essential truth too irresistibly attractive to be kept covered. 29-30. Sri Rohini said, alas, dear servant of Sri Hari, the residents of Braja have, by evil fate, been all but slain. They have lost the last trace of good fortune and are drowning in an ocean of gloom. There they suffer, poisoned and scorched, in the flames of an underwater fire. So please do not destroy my moment of happiness by reminding me of them. Only a person who is dear to Sri Krishna and has received his favor should be considered fortunate. The Brajabasis feel more unfortunate because they view themselves as totally neglected by Krishna. The pain of being deprived of Krishna's attention and personal company is like the inextinguishable vada of a fire, which is said to burn within the ocean. absence, I think there was that an article in BTG, I'm not sure who had put it together, but it was something about, it was basically something about life begins at 625 degrees.
Okay.
And, it was something about saying that, you know, because they have this idea that life only can fit into this, and it can't be here, and it can't be there, because they're studying the universe and saying life can't be anywhere but on Earth, basically, is what they want to say. But this is a point that if there's some point in the ocean where there's fissures in the ground, and the volcanic lava comes through, and so the temperature is like 625 degrees. But when it's exactly that temperature, then there's this one kind of bug that thrives there. And as soon as the temperature drops a couple of degrees, it slows down. And then when it comes back up again, then they're again happy.
So, yeah, I think I've heard about that.
So it's like, I'm not sure what it would be, but it's like, because I think that's Fahrenheit, so I'm not sure what that would be in centigrade. But it's definitely like three times the
still a lot.
It's three times like boiling water or something, you know. It's something ridiculous.
Yes, ridiculous.
You know, it's like 300 degrees or something, you know. But they're happy.
Yeah.
How did we get into that? There was some reason. Oh, about the fire under the water. Why that water? Why not regular fire? Because that's only so hot. But the fire under the water is even more. Mm. That's very, very hot. Living in... Absence from Krishna brings the Vrajavasi's love for him to a fever pitch, which feels to them like the agony of being poisoned. Living in Dwarka, Rohini has been able to forget to some extent the misery of the Brajavasis, but now Uddhava is stirring her memories. When Uddhava mentioned the songs of ecstasy he sang in Braja, he was alluding in particular to the suffering of the gopis. While Rohini Devi is affectionate towards all the Brajavasis, she is especially sympathetic towards her fellow mothers. In the next two verses, she will express her special concern for Mother Jashoda. So here's interesting, is because as it goes up, remember when we were in the material world, and even in the other, up to this point, it's always who is always with Krishna is the most fortunate. Yes. And now here, when we get the topmost, it's when they're not with Krishna. So when you get to that platform, nothing seems to match what you previously thought was. 31-32. When Vasudeva brought me back from Gokula, the cries of the greatly distraught Jashoda made even stones shed tears and lightning bolts shatter. And who can let the mouse speak about the other women of Braja, who, after Krishna left, became like living corpses? Rohini left Braja just as the residents were being cast adrift in an ocean of separation. Jashoda suffered pitifully, as did the young gopis who had known Krishna's intimate love. Separation stands out as one of the primary themes of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The demigods expressed their frustration that, in spite of their close proximity to the Lord, their relationship was nonetheless marked by formality and emotional distance, a type of separation disguised as union. Hanuman also greatly lamented the physical abandonment he suffered at the hands of his Lord Ram. The Pandavas at once suffered tribulation while in Krishna association, and even greater pain while out of his association. The Yadus, on the other hand, recognized their fortune at being Krishna's perpetual associates. Yet their exemplar, Sriman Uddhava, began to question the quality of his association after his trip to Vrindavan. As Rohini Devi will now relate, the residents of Braja were left in a state of utter
decrepitude.
Yeah, decrepitude and destitution in Krishna's absence. Their suffering far surpassed that of the Pandavas. Naturally, one might ask, why does the Lord forsake his dearmost devotees, subjecting them to such torment? This is one of the central enigmas at the heart of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, one which Sanatana Goswami has set out to decipher from the onset of this book. Therefore, it is no surprise that the Acharyas have invested considerable energy in explaining these esoteric mysteries. Before attempting to unravel these questions, it is worth analyzing the unique devotion of the Brajavasis in Vatsalya Rasa, in the fourth wave of the western section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Concerning Vatsala Bhakti Rasa, Rupa Goswami exalts Mother Jashoda as the foremost ashraya of Vatsalya Bhakti, defined as thinking oneself greater than Krishna, protecting him and teaching him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.4.8. Moreover, the vibhava of this rasa is described as follows in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna, endowed with the above-mentioned qualities, but without manifesting powers, is famous as the vibhava of Vatsala Rasa by accepting himself as the object of compassion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.4.5. Jiva Goswami comments, verse 5 elaborates on Krishna as the Alambana. Asya refers to Krishna, who appears in the form of a sun, who is to be known without manifestation of power. Even if he sometimes shows such powers a little, the elders attribute the powers to something else. Because his mother and others think that he is their son, who is completely tender both internally and externally, he becomes the object of their desire to care for him. Anugrahyatvam. Because of this, and only this, that is, becoming the object of their care and compassion, anugrahyatvat, Krishna, a son without manifestation of power, is famous as the vibhava in Vatsala Rasa. He is famous as that form which generates a taste for the rati called Vatsala, in persons acting as parents. That vibhava accomplished by Krishna, manifesting himself as a son, and by the appearance of compassion in the elders, as previously mentioned, becomes completely glorious in all ways. This vibhava, however, generates taste for Vatsala only by certain stimuli, udipana, or qualities in the vibhava, Krishna. Vatsalya and anugraha are differentiated as cause and effect. Vatsala is affection, thinking that Krishna is one's son or the son of a brother, etc. Anugraha is the consequent desire to care for Krishna. Durgama Sangamani Tika 3.4.5. Srila Rupa Goswami then glorifies Mother Jashoda, citing the Srimad Bhagavatam. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Shankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literatures. Yet, Mother Jashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.45. Because if he has special powers, then there's less you can take care. If he doesn't have any special powers, that means maximum you can take care. So since he is that cause of that affection, well then from that generates this desire to take care, the anugraha. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this verse describes how Jashoda's motherly affection could not be inhibited by hearing about Krishna's powers. The Vedas glorify him as the Lord of Sacrifice. The Upanishads glorify him as Brahman. Shankhya philosophy calls him the Purusha. Yoga calls him the Paramatma. The Pancharatra scriptures call him Bhagavan. His powers are glorified by all of these, but Jashoda thought of him as her son. This extraordinary son, who is glorified as the source of sacrifice by the Karmis, has been given to us by Narayana, our family deity, because he has been satisfied with our worship and vows. Garga said that their son was similar to Narayana. This statement, as well as killing demons like Putana, who could not otherwise be killed, should be a cause of their faith that he was Narayana. But actually, he is my son, and not seeing me, his mother, he becomes disturbed. Being separated from him for a moment, I become disturbed. Our experience as mother and father are the proof that he is only our son. And so in other words, just their own experience is proof enough.
So this is how rasa trumps tattva.
Yes.
In the spiritual.
Yeah. And how rasa gets in the way of tattva here.
Yeah.
Here it keeps you from advancing. Yeah. That's the cause of it. This is how she comprehended the matter in her mind. As the Karmis think of him as the Lord of Sacrifice through the Vedas, she thinks of Krishna as her son out of Vatsalya Prema. The Lord, being pleased with the Karmis, is their benefactor and gives them and others results according to their desires. But Krishna is unable to give proper results to Jashoda, according to her Vatsalya Prema. He becomes a debtor. He becomes favored and he becomes controlled. He is the Lord, but is ruled by Jashoda. Though he is satisfied with his own bliss, he cries for the nectar of her breast milk. Bhakti Sar Pradarshini Tika 3:4-6. Jashoda's complete absence of reverence and her ability to overlook Krishna's exhibition of power is further described. Right, so it's not that she hasn't heard about it; it's just that she can overlook it despite that.
It's like when she sees the universal form in his mouth. Is that a similar example?
Yeah, she thinks it's probably something she ate for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, you see the similar example of Scrooge, right? You know, he sees things and he figures it just be breakfast because there's nothing other than pounds, shillings, and pence. Right? You know, and Mother Yashoda is nothing but her affection for her kids. So it's the same principle of illusion, but one's Yogamaya, the other's Mahamaya. Right, so that's the most elevated and the most degraded.
Mm. Okay.
Because I and my husband have worshipped Vishnu constantly, Puta and other demons have been destroyed. The two Arjuna trees were uprooted by the wind, and Vishnu protected him. I saw with my own eyes that Govardhan was held up by my husband. Along with Balaram's help, you know. Okay, Rohini's kid can be a little extraordinary, right? Because of worshipping Vishnu, how would it be possible for my baby to perform all these difficult tasks?
Yeah.
Right? So it's not that she doesn't see, she's not hearing, you know, it's like the demigods come and offer prayers and all that, but it's, you know, she has her, yeah. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3:4-7. Jiva Goswami comments. Verse 6 shows the greatest of Jashoda's Vatsalya Rasa. The Bhagavatam confirms this. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Jashoda. Because here he's only delivering. There's a problem, he's getting rid of that.
Yeah.
But here is that he that the mercy that she has, it's you can't even comprehend. So it's. Now verse 7 shows clearly the purity of her love. It shows Jashoda's supreme simplicity in relation to Krishna as she explains everything in terms of protection by Vishnu. Right? Or it can be, yeah, this is the fun part. They're Vaishnavas, so the Brajbasis are Vaishnavas because they worship Vishnu.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time as they're worshipping the highest form, right? Yeah. The original form.
Mm-hmm. So Maharaj, they can worship Vishnu and love Krishna?
Yes, but... Yes. But it's not like... Means they're worshipping Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, but they're worshipping Krishna out of affection. Does that make sense? So they're worshipping Vishnu because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
And by worshipping him, he's been kind and then blessed them with such a nice child that he protects the child and protects them, and all these things are going on by his grace. Does that make sense? Then they're serving Krishna. So it would look like those who worship the Lord, you know, and then, you know, then it has the karma, Mr. Bhakti. But in here, this, you know, Krishna Misra Bhakti. You know, it's all about Krishna. Right, so they'll be worshipping Vishnu, that Krishna will be protected, and that, you know, everything will go nicely.
So it's technically Bhakti Misra Krishna.
No. Bhakti Misra Krishna Bhakti.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't follow the Vedanta, we don't follow Achintya Veda Veda Bhakta. One and same simultaneously, they really don't want to see that.
It's not that they don't want to, they just don't.
We don't.
Yeah, we also don't. Somehow or other, there seems to be a slight difference here. Yeah. Yeah, so they don't see because the yoga maya is very intense. You know? But with us, then the maha maya seems to be the more victorious of the two. Yeah, so that's why generally this is coming later. Because you have to get through all these things in rasa, and then the platform, I mean, just to accept that the platform of Bhagavan is the real platform, you know, and then how he's the only important thing in anything, right? So then once you get to these kind of points, can appreciate the relationship of the devotees, then these things have some meaning. Right.
It's just interesting because from morning class we were discussing how it's all reverses and Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana, and then Prayojana, Abhideya and Sambandha. Then we see when Srila Prabhupada he started preaching to the Western people, they had no knowledge, no nothing. And then but he gave Abhideya first. And no, he gave Sambandha first, then Abhideya, and then Prayojana. No, sorry, I said it differently. He gave Prayojana first, then Abhideya, and then Sambandha came then later. So he kind of reversed the process.
Because he's from there, not here. That's the whole thing. Sometimes it's missed that Prabhupada's not, you know, they'll say Prabhupada's not giving the highest and these kind of things. Because he doesn't use like certain technical terms and certain definitions and stuff like that. But the processes he's using and everything are from that side, not from this side. You know, we're not talking about, you know, like others are kind of like that. The cultivation of the aspects of the Purva Rag and that kind of level and that kind of language. But, you know, when you're coming from beyond prema, then these are just simple things. You just have to chant, you just have to remember Krishna and all these kind of things. So, developing love for Krishna is the main thing that you want to do. That will make you happy. Right? You do that by chanting. And why? Because we're, you know. But it was, you would see is that in those times in the 60s, devotees were very clear on the fundamentals of the philosophy. You know, that we're not the body, we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna. That the process is the goal is the pure love for Krishna, the process is chanting. And that's how they would explain it. So it wasn't around this and that. They would. So even the newest person knew this much of the philosophy. So this aspect, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, they may not have known the technical terms, but they were speaking that. Right? Well, now if you said, you know, give our philosophy in a nutshell, then some may be able to say it so articulately and some may not. But then even guys that hadn't even taken up seriously the process knew it. You know, the example is given when Prabhupada went to San Francisco. He was greeted by 50 hippies. But, you know, in talking, they all knew this philosophy. And that's because then Mukunda Maharaj had taught it to them. You know, so this is still, I think, what, 66 or 67?
67.
Like that. So that means 1 year of that, and this is, you know, he made sure they understood that. And so if they know that, then you can expand from there. You know, this whole thing, oh no, don't say, it'll be too fanatic, you're moving too fast, this and that. Fast means what? In details, you can move too fast. But in principles, you can never move too fast. There's no such thing. I mean, it's just a matter of, okay, maybe you don't understand it, but it's not a matter of you can become overwhelmed. No. Principles are very simple. You understand?
Yeah.
So basically, it's whatever works for the situation you're in. Whatever's prominent for them. Like the hippies is being happy and being blissful. So therefore, you start with prayojana, then hey. And then to be blissful, you got to do something, okay? Then you chant Hare Krishna, and then chanting, why is all that? Because we're this body, the soul, not the body.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work, it doesn't matter.
And he's the living example. So this prayojana, you see it, and it's there. You know, it's not far out, it's back right there.
So basically, it doesn't matter. It's just as long as it's covered. But you start with the principles, because people can acknowledge that, accept that, and apply it in their life, even if the detail of their life is not nice. You know, you tell them, you know, somebody comes that everything should be offered to the Lord because it's all come from Him. So then the guy goes home and offers his miso soup or something weird. You know, so then. And so, you know, it's not necessarily your ideal offering, but whatever it is, he's the principle is there. The detail, you know, needs to be worked on. Is that brown sticky rice and miso soup? Yeah. Every hippie ate that, you know. And then, I can't remember what was the tea, but, you know, you always have tea.
Tea must be green tea.
Green tea. Really? It's green tea.
It's the healthiest thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No taste.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Do you like the tea? I don't like it. Why not? It's taste.
What's this?
Oh, okay, there's something else. I'll go with somebody's phone.
Oh,
so sometimes they make that sound.
Okay.
A little closer, but not so far away. Okay. It shows Mother Jashoda's supreme simplicity in relation to Krishna, as she explains everything in terms of protection by Vishnu. Or it can be taken as joking conversation. The meaning is this. Quote, because the Lord of the cowherd men, along with me, worship Vishnu, Putta and other demons have been destroyed. Two Arjuna trees. Can we just read this? Oh, this is quoting the same one before. Isn't it? Yeah. Or we're uprooted just by the wind, not by Krishna. No, this one's different. Thinking in this way, she concluded that Vishnu has protected her son. Govardhan was actually lifted by the chief of the cowherd men by the strength of his worshipping Vishnu, right? So it wasn't just his power or some mystic thing. It's by just by Vishnu's mercy that it happened.
Alright. So she basically thinks Vishnu is God, but Krishna is someone else.
Krishna is just her son. Yeah. The two are not connected. Connected in that, by worshipping Vishnu, he's been so kind to give such a wonderful son that's like Narayan. You know, has all the nice qualities and the wonderfulness and the attractiveness, but he's not Narayan. He's her son. Like that. So that's the whole point. It's this the principle of yoga maya when it gets up. That's why you're seeing here the yadavas, then why it's described so much detail about the dasya ras and the different kinds of associates. So they get more and more close and intimate, but there's no intimacy. And their real intimacy starts with friendship, parental and conjugal. Because then at that point, then it's Krishna's just a regular person. You know, he's the best regular person, but he's does that make sense? Because before that, there's that sense you see in the yadavas that they're very close with him, intimate with him. They're associates, they're anugas, but they still know he's the Supreme Lord. But in their dealing with him, he's the Supreme Lord, but they deal with him very intimately. Just like, let's say, you have some close friends of the Prime Minister. They know he's the Prime Minister. But there's that niceness of interacting, and sometimes even joking, because he is the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? But here it goes in Braj, that they don't even, that's not even a point of discussion. It just has nothing to do with it. And the affection is so obvious that it makes it, you know, it's like Uddhava said, it makes the pride, the Mount Meru sized pride of his devotion reduced down to a what do you say? A mound of dust. Because dust can't get that high, right? So it's not that big. You know, if you touch it, it just kind of, you know, so it's not like Mount Meru, it's strong and, you know. So you see that this switch here is that, so you know, but it's not that they don't know who Lord Vishnu is. They just don't connect that their son is the origin of Vishnu.
They have no idea what's going on.
And neither do they want to.
No, not important.
Does this work?
Yeah. So I'm thinking just material and then spiritual, it's a huge gap.
Yes.
But then between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan, it's even bigger, because it's very different mood. And yes. we see from the scriptures, many Vaikuntha bhaktas, they can't overcome this mood.
It's not
possible.
And that's why it's not brought up and discussed. Even amongst themselves, if someone, you know, can't do, then those who, even amongst the Vaikuntha, appreciate the pastimes of Krishna, you know, so that'll be that lower Goloka,
yeah,
you know, aspect of Gopi. Then they don't bring that up. It's just like we see in the next book, when Gopal Kumar goes to Vaikuntha, and he starts dealing with Vishnu, then... afterwards, then some of the residents come to him and tell him, you can't do this, that, blah. And then the more mature ones come and say, ah, come on, give him a break, get rid of him. And then they say, don't worry about it, like this and that, you know, but it's, you know, they can appreciate it's just his mood, but at the same time as they've accommodated it within their Vaikuntha mood, just like Mother Jashoda accommodates all this within her perspective. Yeah, but it's also when you have a reverse, that means what's on the top here is, you know, the bottom here is that's the greatest distance. But they look the most similar. So the attachment of the mother here looks similar to the attachment of the mother just showed up, but they're quite opposite. Same formula, but just it's there is directed at Krishna, here is directed at matter. Right. And so then as you elevate yourself here, it's more similar to Vaikuntha. So then on one sense, if you are pious in the material world, it's in one sense easier to relate to Vaikuntha than it is to Goloka, especially Gokul. Right. But you see, for those who don't necessarily know, it's sometimes easy for them to switch from this to that because it looks the same. You know, they're attached to, you know, material things, they're attached to Krishna. You know, while the pious ones are not really attached much to the material, so they're not so much attached, you know, they can relate to them, not so much attached on the spiritual. Yeah. So just like there's a big gap between pious and impious, so there'll be a big gap between Vaikuntha and Goloka. But the lower Goloka, then the residents of Vaikuntha who do are interested in Krishna's pastimes, they'll relate to them in that fashion. He is the Lord, but he's doing these wonderful pastimes. But in Braj, it's nothing to do with him being the Lord. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, because that was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Jiva Goswami's commenting on this. Okay. The hint here is that if her son could lift the mountain, then why not Balaram also? This attitude is also expressed clearly in ancient depictions of Krishna holding Govardhan with the assistance of others. Krishna's protection was accomplished by explaining that Nanda's daily worship of Vishnu was the cause. Durgama Sangamani Tika 347. Because generally when you see it, Krishna's holding, but everybody else is taking their sticks and everything like that. And because and her thing is because he's just her son, so there's no special powers. Then he's been holding it for some time, so then Mother Yashoda is saying, why don't you let Madhu Mangal or someone else hold it now, or Nanda Baba, you come and sit down and eat something and rest, you've been holding it for some time. So in her mind that if he's holding it, anybody could hold it. And all the cowherd boys are holding their sticks and they're all thinking that they're doing it.
So if she got her way, everybody would be...
No, but then you'd have to have some mystics help you do something else. Okay. The rain would stop and then they'd all go outside. So. Yashoda Devi's superlative position is established here. The elders of Krishna are Yashoda, Nanda, Rohini, the gopis whose sons were stolen by Lord Brahma, Devaki, oh that's a nice way of explaining them, Devaki and the other wives of Vasudeva, Kunti, Vasudeva and Sandipani Muni. Among the elders, the first ones on the list are superior to the latter ones. Okay. So Yashoda, Nanda, then Rohini. Yeah, because she saw both. More intricate is Balaram's mom. Okay. Devaki, the other wives of Vasudeva, Kunti, Vasudeva, and Sandipani Muni. Jiva Goswami explained why Nanda and Yashoda are considered superior to Krishna's other parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. The list should also, that's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3, 4, 10 through 11. The list should also mean others, elderly male and female associates. Devaki, Vasudeva, and his other wives were considered lesser in status because their affection is less. This lesser degree of affection is caused by a prominence of jnana in their bhakti, an awareness of Krishna as the Lord. Yashoda is considered the best because she possesses pure affection and nothing else. So there is no jnana. But you see it all the residents of Dwarka, that there is, along with their attachment, there is that jnana, knowledge of his position. Okay, this is in the following verse. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.47. Right, so that's the... Yeah.
So basically their Vatsalya Rasa was not developed at all of Vasudeva.
No, it's there. It's there when they interact with him. They know he's the Supreme Lord, but they have that parental affection. But it won't be developed to the degree. So when we're comparing to the Brajavasis, then we have this Mount Meru down to a heap of dust. But when we're comparing, let's say, to Vaikuntha, then they have some great affection. As we can see, it's when we're going up, then the Yadavas and that, they have such great affection. But of the Vrishnis, then the Vrajavasis have even greater.
So then that verse, Anyabhivasita Shunya, is really all about Vrindavan. It's not about any other realm.
Means it perfectly describes, yes, the pure unalloyed. So then they have, you can say from Vaikuntha upwards is pure devotion, but only Gokul is pure unalloyed devotion.
Yes.
Okay. Because here, what means, you can take the jnana as meaning, means material knowledge or knowledge separate from the Lord. Because when we say karma and jnana, we mean what, that there's interest in this, these activities or knowledge separate from the Lord. But when you get to but they have knowledge about the Lord, you know, so it's transcendental knowledge. But still, you could then apply that this verse on between pure devotion and pure unalloyed. Because then they have jnana of the Lord, or the aspect, yes, you know, there's that aspect. Jnana of the Lord or liberation, these aspects are there. And so then the attraction or attachment, that surrender, isn't as great as the Vrajavasis. But still, because it's connected to the Lord, it's perfect. But it's just that mantra is more perfect. You know, so Mathura would, and then the most perfect.
So Maharaj, it seems that Yoga Maya has a very important role with the devotee.
Yes.
And can I just get that, like something like opening when you're mentioning that, Maharaj, in my mind. No?
Okay.
Something like that. So it means that we to love Krishna means to love Krishna assisted by Yoga Maya.
It's under the protection.
Under the protection.
Because see, Yoga Maya is an aspect of the Surup Shakti.
Yes.
You know, it's just like Krishna has his different features. So Yoga Maya is a feature of the Surup Shakti. Because you have to have a situation. You have to control that situation, right? So there must be situations, there must be activities, right? So then, from that, then you will taste the happiness of the performance of the devotional activity, which is Krishna's intent, right? So the Icha Shakti is the prominent. Does that make sense? So Yoga Maya will be, you know, basically what's controlling the jnana and kriya.
Mm.
Right? Because Radharani's already taken care of Lahini. Does that make sense? So she has all that kind of capacity. Right? And so then that then reflects here, then, you know, through time as the modes and everything like that, and how it all works here. Because it's a different office of the same person, right? So that's why in all these things we get, means either we don't pay enough attention to detail, or we get caught up in the detail.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say you have a drama, and one person plays many parts. I don't know if it happens as much in the Western drama, but like in the Sanskrit dramas, and you have that, like in Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka, there's 90 roles, but you actually only need about, I think, 25 or 26 people to play the whole thing. Because some roles are all the way through, so those are fixed. But others only appear in the first act, or this act, or for a few acts, and then you don't see them. So some people can then play this change, you know, through these different situations. Does that make sense? So we may get distracted by it, but it's the same person playing these two different roles. So the same aspect, the Supa Shakti, is playing Yoga Maya and is Mahamaya. Like, it's the same principle. So the attitude, the understanding, the illusory aspect is there on both. Right? Here the illusory aspect is stronger, you're more materially involved. And then as the knowledge is there, and then you're and detachment, you're less involved. And so then when that comes across, reflects, I mean, when that comes from its original, then the more that aspect of illusion is there, the higher you are on that side. And then the more there's the jnana and nisa, then the lower. But the point is it may be higher and lower, but it's all reality. While here, higher and lower is just better illusion, less better illusion. You know, it's just like, was the dream in black and white? Was the dream in, you know, sepia? Was the dream in, you know, technicolor?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Corella and milk before going to bed, very good for technicolor. Once we were in Bangkok, and we were eating, we were staying at one of the Watts there. And they had, we were not staying at the Watts, we were staying at a Hindu temple. Yeah, and so then the person who was managing it, we would eat at their place. So one night they had a Karela sabji and chapatis, and then after milk, like that. But that was like the most vivid colored dreams I could. That was definitely technicolor. I wouldn't recommend.
It doesn't sound appealing.
No.
We said also that Maya deals with the jnana shakti.
Yeah, because then it's illusion. It's ignorance.
Mm-hmm. On this side.
Yes. But at the same time, she's Triguna Mayi, so she's controlling the whole thing, but yeah. At the same time, that's where the predominance is.
But on the other side, she's still dealing with the jnana shakti. Yes. But we also say that the more Maya, the better. Or, wait a minute, what am I trying to say? Yeah, the more Maya, the better. But it's all about the Icha Shakti.
The point is if you want, let's say you want to have a program.
Yes.
Okay? So it's about the experience of the program and the interaction with people in the program. Right?
Yes.
So then that's it. That's all you have to worry about, right?
I mean, I don't know why my programs never work out, but...
You understand?
Yeah.
You have to have a place, you have to have all the arrangements. You know, you imagine you have a party, there's nothing to eat, nothing to drink, no place to sit down, you know, like that.
Just floating in void.
Right, yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so all these...
So all that is done by Yogamaya.
And it enhances.
And then Krishna, as the Lord of Icha Shakti, can then enjoy with his Vladini potency. Yes.
Through the medium.
Yeah, because it's just like this Krishna, when it comes to Krishna, when it comes to Sankarsana or Narayana or Purushavatar, this Krishna he's like the major player? Mm-hmm. Or is he like the kid?
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
So then, even though Radharani is the major person, it still appears that all the arrangement is being done by Yogamaya.
Yeah.
But that Yogamaya is simply her expansion, just like Krishna, Balaram, and Narayana is his expansion. Is that something?
Yeah.
So you'll have those aspects. So Sankarsana is who expands, so you already have that flavor there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But at some point that manifests, then you have Lord Shiva, and then... So in other words, his wife is Maya. Now whether she's acting as Yogamaya or Mahamaya, that's depending upon which realm it is.
What we're doing more.
Right, because Yogamaya talks about her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really see Shiva in that in the pastimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he comes in as a pastime, but it's not that he's part of the scene, because he doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You understand? So, in other words, when you deal with that end of it, the detail of it is not as important.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down here, then the detail becomes more important.
Yeah.
Is that?
Because it's not natural.
It's not natural?
The detail becomes important because we're on this side.
Yes, because we take the secondary as the prominence,
exactly.
But there is the primary. So
yeah.
As long as it works, that's also a rule of the Sanskrit drama. You only create as much environment as is necessary to carry the rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Once the rasa is obtained, then that part is over, it moves to the next.
Yeah. And
right?
If you see movies today, it's that is the rasa, is the environment.
Yeah, it's all about that, because a lot of times they do things with big 3D, big everything, and they think this is going to be the best movie, and it's a bomb, because there's no substance.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is it's, let's say, one of the scenes, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and his associates, you know, at Srivas Thakur's house. So Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Dwaita, Gadadhar, Shiva, you know, everybody is there, and the other associates, and they're doing a drama. Right? This is within the drama, right? Because they're doing a drama. And, you know, and they're only basically doing it for themselves. And so Dwaitacharya plays Krishna, Lord Chaitanya plays Radharani. Like this, I think, Nityananda plays Balaram, right, you know, that works out.
Makes sense.
You know, unless you want to do the, you know, the half face one and the other face.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so, you know, that might be a little tough for Krishna to pull that one off, so. But, you know, so it's a little too vaudeville, right? You know,
yeah.
So. Right, so. Yeah. Okay, so they're playing and then they're doing the pastime where the gopis are picking flowers and then Krishna comes with his boys and says, this is our forest, these are our flowers, you can't pick here. And they say, of course it's our place, it belongs to Vrinda. Vrinda, you know, hey, come on. You know, so it's hers. And he says, yeah, okay, yeah, fine, I accept that argument, but I'm married to Vrinda, so that means that this is mine. And they all turn to her, you're married to him? When did this happen? You know, because Shaligram and Tulsi, you know, so then, you know, it's the whole riot going on. And at some point it just turns into complete, you know, chaos. You know, and the Baba comes at riot, you know, like this. And then everybody, you know, just runs off the stage. And when they run back on the stage, because you have two doors, so they all go off. And when they come back on, you're in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya's taken sannyas. Right? Because it's the same people.
Yes.
But they were playing parts in a drama. Now, how did you get between? But it doesn't matter, because it's just going from one flavor to the next. It doesn't have to have a chronology. It's not that you have to, you know, show the, you know, somehow or another out of the middle of nowhere, show a can sitting there, and then go off into that, and you think, well, what's a can? And then later on, this can is the most important element in the thing, you know, the hero saves the day because of this can, right? You know, so. But if you didn't show the can, so where'd the can come from? But the Vedic is, don't worry about these things. It's just because you're moving from rasa to rasa. So as long as there's a certain level of the flavor, that's what has to connect. You know, so the ecstasy and sambo, and then into vipra lumba. You know, so does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's many times also why the acharyas plays have never been performed.
Yeah.
How do you perform this stuff?
Yeah.
Not that you couldn't block it and do it. It's just that how would you do? How would you do justice to, you know, these things? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Everything is connected to experience. Everything is connected to experience.
Yes, because that's the whole point. Is the icha is that desire to taste.
Yes.
That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the jnana and kriya arrange it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
So that's why it's the same same fundament. So the jnana and kriya that work on the spiritual platform, it's the same influence on the material. Mm-hmm. There it gives ecstasy, here it gives you trouble.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Yes. You know, it's just like after the program party's over and all that, then everyone's when they're leaving, yeah, great party and this and that. You didn't enjoy one nanosecond. You know, you were just arranging and this and that. And, oh, you ran out of this and all that. And yeah. This one did this. And, you know, like, you know, so, yeah. So, right? Yeah. You know, so it's just like that. It's just after you're happy to know that it was a successful party. Yeah. Right? So that's the thing, you have to do it yourself. But Krishna, he does it himself. He expands. Mm-hmm. And his expansion takes care of it. And for them, it's service to Krishna. Because the other thing, why it's annoying, because you're arranging your own program. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
You know, but there, Krishna is arranging by expanding himself and therefore then arranging the program. So it, you know it's going to be perfect, right? Okay, yeah, the person, they hire somebody, but they could do something wrong. But how are you? How is yourself going to do anything wrong? Because, you know, yourself knows what you want.
Yes.
Right? You know, so it's perfect. But that's why these things, you don't get into these aspects in the tattva. So the technical is about rasa. Like that, because once you get into that on the other, it kind of, you lose some of the flavor.
Yeah.
No?
Okay. So yeah. So when you make, well, when you do a program, do a program for someone else. Otherwise, you're
going. Yes. To, yeah. Yes. Otherwise, you go down. Yeah.
It's expanding, and the expansion is knowing what Krishna wants. Isn't it true for advanced devotees to their heart?
Yes, yes. Well, because everybody's an expansion of Krishna. There's Krishna and then everybody else. And everybody else an expansion of Krishna. So if you're connected, then you know. But how do you know? It's because you're connected. The spiritual master is connected to Parampara, connected to Rupa Goswami, connected like this. And so then they know. So you just do what you're supposed to do. They know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Radharani knows how to please Krishna. The acharyas know how to please Krishna, so we just follow that, and we're good. We don't have to separately, we don't have to sit there and, you know, do yoga meditation and see what, you know, no, it's not.
Speculate.
Yeah, it's not necessary. Right, you'll be doing a yoga meditation, and Krishna and the coward boys would have already left for the forest. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, what happened?
Okay. Then you wonder if you've just been punked or
you know, say you have.
Some kind of reality. Like, okay, Brahma, I know you're out there. Yeah, you know. No, you've been left. They all left. They went to the forest. Okay, next, is it worth examining the exact nature of Jashoda Devi's bhakti? Next is it is worth examining. Or maybe next is it. It is. Worth examining.
Now we're moving.
Okay. Yeah. Vatsala, I'm sure if he was here, you'd be having some fun. Vatsala Rati of Jashoda and others is at the stage of very intense raga by its very nature. So it's not just raga, it's intense raga.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just as other ratis gradually increase to prema and then sneha, sometimes Vatsala Rati also appears externally to increase to prema, sneha, and raga. But internally, it is always on the level of raga. Right? So it'll have those movements because sometimes it's there, but that attachment is there. It's just a matter of its manifestation. You know, it's just a mother may be vacuuming the rug, but she's always, you know, thinking about the kids.
Yes.
But then sometimes it manifests. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just thinking. Nice example is like when they come in with their bowl of cornflakes and then trip.
On the rug.
And then the rug manifests. Yes. Footnote 22. There is no pranaya in Vatsala Rasa, since the elders can never think of Krishna as being equal to themselves. Right. So that. So that. Therefore, it skips these. So when it has these things, that it has only these things, it means that it just touches those ones because something else doesn't have the. It doesn't match the flavor. Mm-hmm. You know. You know. It's just like. You might not put chili powder in your apple juice, but you might in your tomato juice. Right? You know, so it matches one another. Yeah. We can say, well, wait a minute, this is juice, right? You know, but or try it in your lemon juice. Now that's getting weird, right? Yeah, okay. Why you do that? Put in your lemon juice.
No, I went to Thailand and they have this grapefruit with chili powder.
That you can see because it's sour. Yeah, because sour goes with, because chutney is sour and pungent. You could also put some salt.
Yeah, they have like blends, salt and chili powder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that means you're eating it or that's juice.
No, it's just...
Yeah, if you're eating it, then you can put it on apples also. Just like when you get it from the fruit gallus, then you can put it. I was just saying it's juice, you generally don't think of it. Oh well. Okay. Sri Rupa continues. Jashoda is appearing to have prema. Knowing from talking to others that Krishna was being glorified by the sages at that place, Jashoda, milk flowing from her breast, entered Kurukshetra without reverence for him as the Lord. Another example. When Krishna went with an eager heart to Kurukshetra to observe the solar eclipse, people glorified him as the son of Vasudeva. Devaki, performing activities suitable for a mother, wiped the tears from her face, while Nanda and Jashoda's praying simply increased even more. You know, because it's just like when you see your kid successful, then you become happy.
Yeah. My kid, the prime minister.
My kid made it. He's God. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of mothers think like that.
Yeah, it's just... Your kid ever made it to be God? What is it? The discussion between the priest and the rabbi. Rabbi is asking the priest, okay, so you know, what are your levels? Where do you start? You know, like that. He says, oh, you have the parish priest and all that. And, okay, and then the next level, and then he goes up to the levels of that. I didn't even know how to say it. Something Monsignor or something. Or they move up, huh?
He's not.
Yeah.
Monsignor.
Okay. That, and then you get up to, I think, bishop, and then cardinal, and then pope, and then the rabbi says, okay, and then after pope, no, that's the highest. It says they don't become God. and the priest says, the priest, God? No, never God. Says, that's funny. One of our boys made it.
Touché.
So like that. So she's proud. Jiva Goswami's elaborate commentary on this verse serves to highlight the contrast between Vrindavan and Mathura. Devaki had to wipe his face. Devaki had to wipe his face.
Yes. Krishna's.
Hmm?
Krishna's.
Whose face?
Krishna's.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, performing activities suitable for a mother. Okay, now I get it. Okay. Devaki had to wipe his face because of his tears of joy at meeting Nanda and Jashoda. Taking the occasion of the eclipse of the sun, Krishna became anxious to go there because Jashoda and Nanda would also go there. Thus, the longing was not to go to Kurukshetra for the eclipse, but to see them, like just like for Yudhishthira's wanting to have the Rajasuya just so Krishna would come and they could say. Why did the prema of Nanda and Jashoda increase to the extreme? The heightened prema in Nanda and Jashoda appeared because of the explanations from others about Krishna, which ran contrary to that prema. Footnote 23. The definition of prema is that it does not reduce at all, even in trying circumstances. Right? So that's why it was an example of prema. Those contrary explanations simply cause their prema to increase. What were those contrary explanations? Before the killing of Kamsa, Ananda and Yashoda had not heard the real truth about Krishna. After the killing of Kamsa, however, this was revealed to them. The Yadavas said that they were the kinsmen and parents of Krishna. Explaining about the message from the sky given to Kamsa that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him, and thus he was removed from Mathura and separated from his parents. Okay, quote, "You foolish rascal, the eighth child of this woman you are carrying will kill you." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.34. That must be the voice from the sky. Right? If they were to reveal that they had exchanged Yashoda's child for Krishna, it would show some selfish injustice on their part. Therefore, they concealed that fact. According to Harivamsa, which explains about the exchange, they also had to conceal the fact that Nanda had secretly disclosed the facts to Kamsa. Oh, Narada had secretly disclosed the facts to Kamsa. This was the extent of explanation about Krishna that Nanda and Yashoda had heard from the Yadus. They thus explained that Kamsa had been given warning when driving Devaki after a wedding, and that Kamsa later heard Devi speak from the sky. Quote, "O Kamsa, you fool, what will be the use of killing me? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning, and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.12. Kamsa also understood the sin he was committing. Quote, "Alas, not only human beings, but sometimes even providence lies. And I am so sinful that I believe the omen of providence and killed so many of my sister's children." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.17. So he was just going on that providence doesn't lie. So he was working on that. So that, but then he's saying that because he had believed that, and then now he's saying it's not true, then therefore he caused so much trouble to his sister, which he should not have done. Right, you know, in other words, demon has his moments here. Yeah. There had been some alternative, Vasudeva, who had no intention to deceive and was acting as an unmotivated friend, would not have spoken to Nanda as follows, with deception, shortly after Krishna arrived in Gokula. "My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, at an advanced age, you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.23. However, Garga had previously revealed as the real situation. "For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.14. After the killing of Kamsa, the same knowledge was then revealed by the Jadus to Nanda and Yashoda. So then, after the killing of Kamsa, and considering how to fulfill their past and present goals, the Jadus now spoke only of their own lineage with Krishna. However, a person suitable for a certain child take that child as their own and act as parents of the child, they certainly experience the happiness of being the parents. But then to speak of Nanda and Yashoda, who, by their love for Krishna, were actually non-different from Vasudeva and Devaki. Thinking about this, Krishna himself, taking Nanda and Yashoda as his real parents, had said, "Now you should all return to Braja, my dear father. We shall come to see you. Our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends." Oh, okay. "We shall come to see you, our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we give some happiness to your well-wishing friends." Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.45.23. The meaning here is, we should do activities to give happiness to Vasudeva and your friends similar to the generous actions you performed in giving us happiness. Krishna then spoke his true feelings, indicating his real parents to Uddhava in private. "Dear gentle Uddhava, go to Vraja and give pleasure to our parents, and also relieve the gopis, suffering in separation from me, by giving them my message." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.46.3. Just thinking, if Uddhava hadn't gone with his mountain of pride, he might not have been, you know, how you say, able to deliver the message and everything. So he went there, and, you know, doing everything nice, and then afterwards, how he sees how they're responding, that's when he figured out that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. At Kurukshetra, Devaki said to Yashoda, "Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, you acted as their parents and gave them all affectionate care, training, nourishment, and protection. They were never afraid, good lady, because you protected them just as eyelids protect the eyes. Indeed, saintly persons like you never discriminate between outsiders and their own kin." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-38. Okay, so this is quite late in the past times. Well, so he sent Uddhava just in the next chapter. But though Devaki said that, it should be understood that Yashoda did not pay any attention to the statement, because her feelings for her son, whom she was meeting after such a long time. This is indicated by the fact that, after Devaki made that statement, Yashoda did not give any reply. Thus the whole disclosure only made Nanda and Yashoda's love for Krishna stronger. Durgama Sangamani Tika 3457. Rupa Goswami continues to describe the quality of Yashoda's bhakti. Yashoda's appearing to have sneha. O queen of Braja, the Ganga river has sprung up through sweet streams of milk falling from the mountains of your breasts, and the Jamuna has sprung up through the tears mixed with black mascara falling from your lotus eyes. 24. The Jamuna is said to be blackish in color. Those rivers are falling on the altar of your torso. Being bathed at that joining of the two rivers, you clearly desire to see the face of your son. Footnote 25. The quality of sneha is that separation becomes intolerable. Yashoda is appearing to manifest raga, though she always has raga. O Mukunda, if Yashoda is placed on a fire made from grain chaff, but can see you. The fire becomes as cool as ice. If she is placed in an ocean of nectar but cannot see you, the ocean of nectar becomes as sharp as Kalakuta poison. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3, 4, 58, 59, 26. The quality of raga is that a person is willing to give up life for the Lord. Because in grain chaff means it's a very fast, very hot fire. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Having better understood the unique position of Mother Yashoda, we will now review the Acharya's statements concerning Krishna's presence and apparent absence in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu examines the nature of Krishna's relationship with the Vrajavasis in more detail. Permanent association, sthiti, from Vidagdha Madhava. O Mukunda, our mother, fixing her eyes on the beauty of your moon-like face, fragrant as a lotus, out of great jubilation, continuously pours streams of milk from the mouths of the two pots in the form of her breasts. In this manner, her clothing becomes soaked. In his commentary to this verse, Srila Jiva Goswami provides the definitive statement concerning Krishna's eternal presence in Vrindavan. Sthiti here means being eternally situated with the Lord after his returning to Braja. At the end of the section on Prayo Rasa, this was inferred as a suitable conclusion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.3.128. This will be explained here a little more. The Lord, who is glorified in the Vedas as being true to his promises, clearly made the promise to return to Braja in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Quote, "Now you should all return to Braja, dear father. We shall come to see you. Our dear relatives who suffer, see you. Our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-22. Vo drashtum eshyama, we will come to see you, indicates that the goal of their efforts is to see Nanda and Yashoda again, but should be understood to be an eternal situation of not of seeing, not that Krishna would again leave Braja. Drashtum, to see, can also mean to be and remain the object of your sight. This is similar to the usage of vibodhu in the following verse, which means to be the object of understanding. This means that the impersonal Brahman, this means that the personal Brahman, it is the object of continuous realization for the non-devotees. Quote, non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distractions and all attachment to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. So again, they have to give up all attachments and all that. Then impersonal. So you're going to all that trouble, you could be doing it to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. So impersonalists kind of have a problem. Krishna's returning to Braja was also explained by Uddhava. Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-35. Infallible Krishna, the Lord of the devotees, will soon return to Braja to satisfy his parents. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-34. Krishna will return to satisfy his parents must mean there would be permanently living with them. Now Krishna's actual return took place after the killing of Dantavakra. That is hinted at by the Lord himself during the Kurukshetra pilgrimage. My dear girlfriends, you still remember me. It was for my relative's sake I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-41. From this statement is understood that after killing his enemies and finally killing Dantavakra, Krishna did not kill any more demons. Okay. I guess they were the end of the line. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so they were the last also. He would return to Braja in the future. This Kurukshetra pilgrimage took place before the killing of Dantavakra. The Vana Parva of the Mahabharata explains that the killing of Dantavakra, along with the killing of Salva, took place simultaneously with the exile of the Pandavas to the forest. After they returned from the forest, the battle of Kurukshetra took place, where Bhishma was killed. During the pilgrimage to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse, Bhishma was also present. Balaram's pilgrimage, chapter 79, which is described in Bhagavatam before the description of the pilgrimage to Kurukshetra in the Bhagavatam, was actually completed on the day that Duryodhana was killed, and thus actually occurred after the pilgrimage to Kurukshetra, since he was present at Kurukshetra eclipse as well. Okay. So we'll stop here.